Economicsense.com.
This is the morning brief from the Economic Times, produced in collaboration with Awaaz.com.
Last Monday, India woke up on an upbeat note as we started the second phase of vaccination drive against COVID-19. Citizens above the age of 60 and those above 45 but with comorbidities could now take the jab. We were preparing for this day for months. But were we prepared? Ask anyone who tried to get the vaccine on Monday and the short reply is likely to be, it was a mess. Social media was abuzz with disgruntled citizens and there were issues in getting registered and getting slots. Some who went to the hospitals with confirmed slots said the hospitals were not even ready. The vaccination drive has been fraught with deficiencies in communication and in execution. What is making things more difficult is that some degree of hesitancy among people still persists. Vaccinating a billion people is a tall order. But could we have done more to make the process smoother? And what next? How far are we from a COVID-free India? In this episode, we find out all this and more. From the Economic Times, I'm Rachita Prasad and you're listening to The Morning Brief. Our first guest today is Dr. Harsh Mahajan, founder and chief radiologist at Mahajan Imaging. Dr. Mahajan is also the senior vice president of Healthcare Foundation of India, NatHealth. And he has been a part of the government discussions on COVID testing and vaccination. Our second guest is Nidhi Sharma from the Economic Times. Nidhi has been closely tracking the government's initiatives for controlling the spread of COVID-19 and the vaccination drive. With her ear to the ground, she has broken some important stories on the matter. Good morning, Doctor. Good morning, Nidhi.
Good morning, Rachita.
Morning, Rachita.
Great to have you on this episode. Let me start with you, Nidhi. Like I said before, anecdotally, we know there were a lot of teething issues when the second vaccination drive started. I mean, on day one, most people went on the Cowin app for registration and found out later that it could only be done through the portal. I myself struggled to even get my parents registered and could not get a slot. In fact, on Wednesday, my parents took a shot and no pun intended there and tried walking in for an appointment and they managed to get a jab. But after waiting for many hours because the online systems had glitches there, things seemed to be getting better. But why did we have so many technical issues even after the government upgraded the portal? I mean, one would believe that we were planning for this for months. What's being done to streamline this and how will it work out, Nidhi?
Rachita, yes, you're right. So it was all fraught with a lot of glitches. So there were two parts to what India did over the weekend, last weekend, Saturday and Sunday. India switched from Cowin 1.0 to Cowin 2.0. So from a system which was a really supply-based, we changed to demand-based system, where people were doing their own self-registration and then walking in and getting or scheduling their appointments. So here what happened was over the Cowin 1.0 to Cowin 2.0, little did government know that when they were shifting the entire database from, say, everything from healthcare workers and frontline workers and then getting onboarding senior citizens, it would be completely jammed. It did not expect that kind of traffic. So things completely came to a stand at around 12 within hours of the government opening the portal on Monday. Yes, could it have been better managed? So the technical part, we wouldn't know because according to the government, there were no glitches. But yes, people ran into problems. There wasn't any clear communication whether the people were supposed to use Cowin app or Cowin website. Now, Cowin app was for administrators and the hospitals were, mind you, still using it for other purposes. What were the other purposes were? That they were trying to onboard all the data that they were receiving. Okay, this person, Aadhaar checked, everything verified, vaccinated. So all this data does go to Cowin app. Even that gave problems on Monday because they weren't able to keep pace with the number of people coming to the centers.
So Nidhi, clearly there was one problem with communicating what was being done. But I mean, government is saying that there were no technical glitches. But bottom line is that as people who were struggling to get an appointment, we just couldn't get through with it.
Even now, even today.
Even now,
I tried it for my parents and in-laws. I can't see the list of hospitals. So this has been asked to the government. But the government is saying there are no glitches. So clearly something is amiss. And we are still talking about the urban centers here. We're not even talking about largely rural states like Chhattisgarh, Madhya Pradesh, Rajasthan, where the government will still have to go to so far inaccessible places where there are people living there. Yes, the COVID situation has been definitely under control in, say, rural areas, which even saw the influx of migrant laborers from the city going back to their homes. So the COVID situation was still better, but still these people need to be vaccinated, for which the government has proposed a cohort approach, like a camp kind of an approach. But even there, it's going to be tough too, because for them, increasing their awareness and then taking this to the rural areas. We're still not talking about the rural areas. We're still talking about cities because they are obviously more visible to us. And we have a situation where the government is unable to vaccinate everybody who's turning up at the centers.
That's a very relevant point. In fact, one of the things that I came across, a lot of people complaining that why are we only talking about the four metros? India is much more than the four metros, and the level of chaos was probably higher in some of the smaller towns. Doctor, just stepping back from how the rollout is happening, help me understand, there's a lot of criticism about the list of comorbidities that will determine the eligibility for COVID-19 vaccination for people between 45 and 59 right now. For instance, obesity is not even listed as one of the comorbidities. There are also concerns that, diabetes is not listed as a standalone comorbidity and it has to be in combination with another issue. Are there any gaps that need to be filled for the next round of vaccination?
The government has given a list of 20 major comorbidities which would qualify a person between 45 and 59 years of age to be eligible to get the jab. And even though this is a very comprehensive list, it includes most of the cardiac ailments, it includes those who've had stroke, those who have lung diseases, those who have serious kidney ailments, the most of the those with cancer. But there are some gaps, and I'm sure the committee which actually finalized these 20 comorbidities would have gone into the details of that, like diabetes has to be more than 10 years or someone with diabetes less than 10 years but with a complication.
Right.
And similarly, those with high blood pressure, hypertension, who are on treatment. So from that point of view, it's not that these things have been disregarded. It's just that they've been fine-tuned or further qualified because, as you know, in India, diabetes is rampant. And someone who has mild diabetes and is controlled either on diet or on minor medication, if we were to include them along with those who have serious ailments, then the whole program would get diluted, and probably those who need the jab more because they are immunocompromised or seriously sick with chronic diseases, they may get pushed back. To me, that seems to be the rationale for further qualifying. Now, even as far as obesity is concerned, we do know that those who are obese, if they get COVID-19, then the clinical outcomes are worse. Here again, I'm sure some kind of fine-tuning has been done, but the government has said that this is the initial list that they've released. And I'm sure as more feedback comes in, there would be no problem in actually bringing in more disease entities which may have got missed out into the fold.
So basically what you're saying is that this was the government's way to prioritize the most high-risk category of people, and this could be expanded going ahead. Doctor, there was a lot of vaccine hesitancy among sections of doctors and healthcare workers. What was the reason for that? In fact, now many senior citizens who are eligible for the vaccine seem to be in the wait and watch mode. What would you tell them?
See, let me go about it in a systematic point-wise manner. Point number one, these vaccines have been developed very, very fast. Generally, it used to take 5 to 10 years to develop a vaccine. Here, we've got it under 1 year. So that is one reason why healthcare workers who know about disease, who know about vaccines, were hesitant in the beginning that is it up to the mark? Have corners been cut so that you know, you can get it to the market as quickly as possible. After being assured by, scientists, developers, and healthcare leaders across the world that no corners have been cut, it is through joint collaboration across continents, across countries, across institutions that this time frame has been shortened dramatically. I think most of the healthcare workers were willing and able to understand that it is safe, it is efficacious, and that there has been no cutting of corners. Next came the fact that, at least in our country, you know, for one of the vaccines, that's the Covaxin, it was actually given emergency use authorization
right
even before the phase 3 trial had been completed. In fact, the phase 3 trial is on as we speak. So that again, you know, brought about a lot of questions as to what is the hurry. But the government on its part and the authorities who gave the emergency use authorization, they said that the phase 1 and phase 2 trials have been completed. And even though the numbers there are small, but they said that the results are very, very good. And actually, it has all now been published and we know that this is a very efficacious vaccine. So in the current context of the pandemic, the government said we want more and more production. We want more and more people to be as quickly vaccinated as possible. And that's why we will not wait for final phase 3 trial data. Whatever phase 3 trial data is available, based on that, number one, we are sure that it's safe. As you know, more than 1.5 crore Indians have had the jab and there has been really no serious side effect. There hasn't been a single death in 1.5 crore jabs, and that's saying a lot. So it's absolutely safe and it's efficacious. And if we see the rush of people that we've seen in the last 2 days, once the phase 2 of the rollout started, it seems that India is overcoming the hesitancy, overcoming the initial fear, and everyone is now very enthusiastic. So hesitancy, it would appear, looking at the numbers, that more than about a crore people have got registered in 2 days, it would appear that we are moving from hesitancy to enthusiasm. And to those who are asking the questions, especially those in the 70 plus, 80 plus age group, a paper has come out about the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine, which is Covishield, which says that it is really more than 90% effective in thwarting serious disease in the elderly, especially those above 80 years of age. So I would say each and everyone in the elderly age group should very definitely take the jab.
That's actually quite reassuring what you said. And also the Prime Minister himself took the jab, the homegrown Covaxin. So one would hope that that should lift the sentiment in general and people should have more faith in the vaccine. Doctor, obviously people are taking the vaccine and there is obviously a lot of hope and enthusiasm around it because everybody is just ready to get out and believe that the world is back to normal. But this can be a very crucial phase. What are the things people who have already taken the vaccine need to keep in mind going ahead?
That's a very important question. Someone who's had the vaccine should not feel that they are now, they can live life as normal. You will still need to wear your mask and follow all the measures that we've been following, you know, COVID appropriate behavior, as it's called, hand hygiene, not being in crowded places. And of course, the mask is the most important, and a mask which is properly worn. We need to remember that it takes a few weeks before the immunity from the vaccine is going to set in. So especially in the first 2 weeks after the first jab is very crucial. You are as much at risk as any other person. And so if you're not careful, you could get infected. And in the beginning, it may even be an infection which may be serious. Also, one thing to remember that after you have the second jab, and really 2 weeks after the second jab, is when you start getting good level of antibodies, good protection. But the protection we need to remember, Rachita, and this is for all those who are hearing, is against getting serious disease.
Right.
It is not against getting infection. So you can still be infected. Actually, you will not get serious illness. Also, you can transmit the infection to those in your family, those around. Remember, it's only 60 plus who are being vaccinated, or 45 plus who have comorbidities. Anyone younger is not getting vaccinated, and they are at risk. So even in your homes, you have to be very, very careful that you don't get infected, because you can transmit the infection. At the same time, I may say there's new data that's coming in, which says that if you've been vaccinated, the possibility or the percentage of transmission that you can do does tend to fall. So that reduces, but still you can transmit to others. So these are a few facts which one needs to remember, and we need to follow COVID appropriate behavior for many months to come.
Fair enough. Doc, I have two quick questions to ask you, which seem to be bothering a lot of people. First being that, are these vaccines interchangeable? If somebody has taken the first shot of Covaxin, can he take a second shot of the other vaccine? And the other question which a lot of people seem to be asking is whether they can take the two shots in two different cities. Can you throw some light on that?
Yes. At the present point of time, with the knowledge that we have, if you've taken first shot of, say, Covaxin, then the second shot after 28 days should also be Covaxin. And if it's Covishield, it should be Covishield.
Fair enough.
This is non-negotiable as things stand today. Of course, there are trials which have started in the US where they are trying to mix and match, but that data will come much later. Now, regarding the fact that you had one jab in one city, can you get another jab if you move to another city? Personally, if you ask me, I think, yes, that should be possible, because this COVID app is not region specific.
So I would like to add here, Rachita, when you schedule your appointment, they give you and you get vaccinated on, say, day one, they automatically schedule your appointment on the same center after 28 days. Okay, but if you are traveling, you can reschedule it closer to the date when you finally know, and you can take it in another city. But they ensure, because they already have your data in the system, so they ensure that when you are looking at another city for that, that center is specifically for, say, whatever your first dose was, be it Covaxin or Covishield.
That's very important information. Nidhi, like we discussed earlier, a lot of people from smaller towns have complained about problems in getting the vaccine. Also, there is a concern that some senior citizens may not be able to travel to vaccine centers at all. You did a story earlier where the government said that they may allow vaccination at home. ET has also reported that all private hospitals will be allowed to give vaccines. How is the government planning to expand the reach and the scope of the drive?
Yes, so when the government started its exercise of for this current phase, they really needed the help of the private sector to scale up. So the first thing that the government did was that they decided to include PMJ, Ayushman Bharat empaneled hospitals, and CGHS empaneled hospitals, to which some states who weren't a part of PMJ said that, you know, we have our state schemes like Orissa, Telangana, Delhi, West Bengal. Four states are not a part of PMJ. So they said, we have our state schemes. And the government said, yes, all right, because we need to scale up. And as long as the basic facilities are available in these hospitals, you can participate. Now, seeing the deluge at all these vaccination centers, and you do see visuals on television, the government has decided now that all private hospitals, as long as they have, even if they are not empaneled in under your state schemes, all hospitals, as long as they have basic facilities like cold storage and enough space to have an observation room also, because a person has to wait for 30 minutes at the center. As long as you can take care of these basic things, you can expand the drive to all private hospitals. So this is a step to scale up. Your other question was, when does it come home? So on the very first day, there were the elderly people who had spouses who were bedridden,
right,
and they couldn't take the spouses along because, and also on day one and day two, as we have seen, the wait was very long. Hospitals even shut their doors after giving tokens to people. It became so unruly, the crowd and everything. So the government might consider it later. Right now, it has its hands full. It will be a paid service by the private hospitals, is what we are given to understand. National Health Authority CEO, in his interview to us, Mr. Haris Sharma, had said that this would be a paid service after we clear the, you know, such a long queue of people, we will come to this thing. And this is definitely on the table. Now, whether the government hospitals can send somebody to your home remains to be seen.
Nidhi, the most important question and the most personal question, hamara number kab aayega? By when can we expect the vaccination to be open to all? What will be the challenges for the government? Because we would be dealing with a significantly larger population.
Yes, I know. All of us are waiting for that. So there are a lot of variables to this. One is obviously the vaccines are on emergency use authorization. Plus, we are looking at, a limited supply. We don't want a situation where you have inoculated X number of population, and when you're looking to give them the second dose, because India is still sticking to two-dose schedule, and that we don't have enough because we have international commitments as well. So the government is likely to go easy on this. Also depends on how many other vaccines can be included in our drive. So the government expects to wrap up this current phase maximum by maybe September. And in between, the states have already started demanding that you please open vaccination for vaccines for private selling. When I say private selling, it obviously means that you and I can go and go to a chemist, buy that vaccine, or it is available at the pharmacy of the hospitals. Now, that requires what kind of legal hurdles would that need to cross also remains to be seen, because these are very extraordinary circumstances, and we need to see, because there's anyways nothing called emergency use authorization in India. We have borrowed this from US FDA terminology.
Right.
So when it depends on how many other vaccines are included in our public immunization drive, what all gets approved, and the government's commitments. So we hope to hear about it soon. It's March. Depends on what's the uptake of this phase, which has just started.
Are there any concerns about the availability of the vaccines, the vials? Are there enough vials that can take care of us?
Yes, they have. About the funds, I wouldn't want to say, because the very fact that the government didn't want to completely fund this phase indicates that we are looking at, fund constraints. But availability, there are no concerns as of now.
Before we end, I have to ask one final question to Dr. Mahajan. Doctor, will this drive be enough? Can people still get COVID after getting vaccinated? And what about the new strains? Help us understand what lies ahead.
The short answer, yes, you can still get COVID, but you will not get a serious illness. That's point number one. Point number two, about the mutant strains. These actually, as we know, the UK variety, the South African and the Brazilian ones are already there and they are spreading across the world. We have a few cases in India, but luckily we've been able to contain them. But unless we are able to actually bring the number of infected people down and actually prevent the spread of the infection, be it by using COVID-appropriate behavior or by vaccination, the mutations are a part and parcel of a virus's life, and these will continue happening. And so we have to be ready at some point of time. We may even need to modify the vaccines that we have, repurpose them so that they are also equally effective against the new strains. It is said that probably this vaccines that we have are effective against the UK variant and maybe not so effective against the South African one. And so when we talk of vaccinating the entire population very fast, the constraints are, of course, the manufacturing capacity that we have, because, there is a limit to that and it may take 2 years or more for the entire population to get vaccinated if all goes well. At the other end, we also have this, that you don't want to vaccinate so quickly that, then we are again thinking of revaccinating when another mutant strain comes. So everything is not so clear. This is not maths. This is, disease and health. And here, 2 and 2 at times doesn't make 4. So we have to actually keep titrating our response and our efforts to the unfolding disease. So I would say also that we don't know how long our immunity is going to last. It is said that this pandemic will become, and this disease will become endemic, and that we may need a yearly jab year on year in the future. But those are all conjectures. Those are all, stuff that we presume based on the data that we have. And it's only in the months and years to come that the entire scenario is going to unfold. But I'm sure, just as India as a nation, our scientists, our doctors, our healthcare workers have stood up to the challenge, the entire global community has come together to fight this disease. I'm sure anything which modification which occurs in the future, we would be able to fight that as well together.
So while things are getting better, it seems we may be in this for the long haul. The execution of the vaccine program may face issues. And as Dr. Mahajan cautioned, scientists and the medical fraternity will have to keep tweaking efforts and responses as and when the virus mutates. But for most of us, the message from the health experts is clear. Get the vaccine. The government will have to keep directing its resources towards the control of the pandemic and course correct as we go along. But we too have a role to play. Even after taking the vaccine, it is important we continue to follow the COVID-19 protocols to keep ourselves and others safe. Thank you, Dr. Mahajan and Nidhi, for being on the episode and sharing very useful information with us. I'm Rachita Prasad, and you've been listening to The Morning Brief. I hope this episode answered some of the lingering questions. Please share it with your friends and family and on social media to spread the word. This episode was edited by Anjali Venugopalan and coordinated by Shashwat Mohanty. We look forward to your feedback. Write to us at themorningbrief@timesgroup.com. The Morning Brief airs every Tuesday, Thursday and Friday. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a great day.
Avaaz.com